Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us for the NCC podcast. God is doing so many great things in our community, and I trust that He's doing great things in your life as well. And I trust that God is going to speak to you through this message.
You know, despite all of the things that are happening right now in the world, the things that are happening within our own country, the things that are happening within your home, and even the things that are happening in your personal life, I want you to know that it is possible. It is possible for you to maintain an inner calm and to keep your peace. They say, well, Philip, you don't know what's going on in my family. You don't know what's going on my job. You don't know the report or the news that I just received. And that is true. I don't know specifically what is going on in your life, but I do know what Jesus said. And this is what Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 33. And everything I've taught you is so that the peace which is in me will be in you. Now think about that just for a moment. The peace that is in me, Jesus said, will be in you. How many understand that is a supernatural peace? Remember when Jesus was caught right there in the middle of the storm and he was asleep on the boat, the disciples woke him up. What did Jesus say in that moment? He said, peace, be still. You see, what was in him was supernatural power, supernatural peace to speak into what was around him. So many times we let what is around us influence what is on the inside of us, but we can live with such a supernatural peace that Jesus gives us that even though there is turmoil around us, even though things are twirling and swirling around us, we can keep our peace and speak our peace to those things that are surrounding us. And he says, if you do that, you can live with great confidence as you rest in me. For in this unbelieving world, you will experience trouble and sorrows. Come on, say will right now. Just let it out. Say will. You will. Not might, not could, not maybe. You will experience trouble and sorrows, but you must be courageous, for I have conquered the world. See, it is possible for you to live with peace and confidence, even in the midst of trial and sorrow. That lets you know that you can live with an inner calm. Now, I don't know about you, how many of you want to live with an inner calm, regardless of all the adversity, all the trials and the trouble? You want to live with inner calm. I'll tell you what, come on, just type it in the chat again this week. If that's what you want that calm, you want calm in your mind, calm in your heart, calm in your spirit, come on, type it in the chat right now. Calm, C-A-L-M, calm, calm, calm. That's what I want. If you want that calm, then there's four things that you must be grounded in. We're going to take a look at those. We looked at them last week. We're going to take a look at them again today. If you want to live in that calm, you've got to live grounded. Last week, we talked about being grounded in Christ. You got to be grounded in it. You got to let the roots of your life go down into him. That's where it all starts. And we got to be grounded in our attitude. We're going to talk about that today. You got to be grounded in your light. It's what we're going to be talking about next week, that we have a mission. We have a responsibility. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. You are supposed to shine that light into the world so that people will see your good deeds and acknowledge your Father in heaven. And whenever we do that, when we live grounded in Christ, grounded in our attitude, our mindset, and our emotions, grounded in our actions and in our behaviors, then we can be mature. The wind can blow, but we will not break. And we came into 2020 saying this was our year of upgrade. And we're wrapping up 2020 saying this is our year of upgrade. How are we going to stay calm? It's the same method. It's the same methodology. It's the same process. We said we got to get in position for upgrade. That is to get our eyes up, putting our attention on Jesus. To get our head up, that's to keep our attitude where it needs to be. Get our hands up saying, God, we are available to carry out that purpose and mission that you have for us. And when we live with our eyes up, head up, and hands up, that's whenever we grow up and we can go up into everything that God has in store for us. So let's talk today about being grounded in our attitude. being grounded in our attitude. Maybe we should even more specifically say being grounded in the right attitude, right? Being grounded in a good attitude. The word attitude is defined as a settled way of thinking or feeling about someone or something, typically one that is reflected in a person's behavior. You see, we all have settled into a way of thinking or feeling about someone that could be yourself, a family member, a coworker, God. You have a settled way of thinking and feeling about someone or something. That could be your past, your present, your future. That could be success, failure. You have settled into a way of thinking. And that way of thinking and feeling, it comes out in your behavior. But I want you to see, attitude is not your behavior. It is the reflection of your behavior. Most of the time we say people have an attitude, right? He have an attitude because it came out in a behavior. But no, the attitude is internal. The attitude is your thinking and your feeling. And here in North Point, we like to say it this way. We say that your attitude will always follow your attention. Your attitude will always follow your attention. That's why we have to start with getting our eyes and our focus and our attention on Jesus, because my attitude, my mindset, and my emotions are going to follow where my attention is. So we must get our eyes on Jesus first. And if my attention is not on Jesus, then my roots cannot grow down into Jesus. Then my soul can't be nourished and stable like we talked about last week. And if I'm not nourished and stable in my soul, then I'm not going to be able to settle into the best way of thinking or feeling. You say the best way. You see, the best way is always God's way. Come on, just type that in the chat right now. The best way is God's way. God knows what we need. How many of you are guilty of thinking you know what you need, and then you got what you need, only realize it wasn't what you need? God knows what it is that you need. God knows what I need. And so the best way is God's way. The best way is God's way. Type it in. The best way is God's way. We understand that God has a way for us to think. God has a way for us to process our emotions. God has a way. You see, whenever we put Christ first, Jesus isn't just about our spirituality. Jesus, following Jesus, it gets down into our mindset. It gets into our emotions. And we have to be grounded in this attitude, because we cannot produce fruit if we are not grounded in our attitude. We must be grounded in our attitude. Now, this is where people miss it. Because people will say, I love Jesus. I love Jesus, but their life is not producing the fruit of his spirit. Now, let me just take a time out and say, hey, we have all been there. Come on, haven't you been there? I know I've been there. Man, I love Jesus with all of my heart. I wanted to love him. I wanted to serve him. But my life wasn't producing the fruit that I knew it really should have produced. The fruit of the Spirit mentioned in Galatians chapter 5, and Paul talks about 9 fruit there. He talks about love and joy and peace and patience and others. And whenever we talk about those things, we you know, wouldn't it be nice? I mean, wouldn't it just be amazing if we say, Jesus, I put my faith, hope, and trust in you. I believe that you're Lord and Savior. And all of a sudden, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, self-control just started falling out of heaven right onto the tree of your life. Wouldn't that be amazing? Unfortunately, it doesn't work that way. No, if you want to produce that fruit, you have to grow that fruit. You have to grow that fruit in your life. How do you grow that fruit? You grow that fruit by transforming the way that you think and by changing how you process your emotions. You grow that fruit through your attitude, through your attitude. Let's look at what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23. It says, let the Spirit change your way of thinking and make you into a new person. You were created to be like God, so you must please him and be truly holy. Now, notice what it says. It says, let the Spirit change your way of thinking and let him make you into a new person. Now, but I want you to see this, that it is your way of thinking. The Spirit plays a part. The Holy Spirit will help in the process, but it is your thinking that needs to change. Once again, now this is how you become a new person. This is how you transform your life. Romans 12:1 is one of our key verses here, right? And it says, hey, let God transform you by changing the way you think. There is a connection there by our thinking to our transformation, our life being changed. But the thought processes are not just magically changed by the Holy Spirit. You don't just get to say, oh God, I want to be changed, and boom, all of a sudden everything changes. No, no, no. These things have to grow on the inside of you, and it is you learning how to change according to what the Holy Spirit wants to do, and you begin to allow the Holy Spirit to do these things in your life so that you can become a new person, so that you can develop new character, so you can be molded into everything that God wants you to be. Now, I just want you to notice one more obvious thing about this verse, and that is this, that if the Holy Spirit needs to come and change your thinking, then the light bulb should go off and say, well, I need to change my thinking. That's the first and what, okay, I have an old way of thinking, and that way of thinking needs to change. And this is what we discover as we begin to follow Jesus. The abundant life that Jesus mentions in John chapter 10, verse 10, that abundant life is not acquired by believing in him. It's acquired by behaving like him. That abundant life, living in that overflow, living in that abundance, living life to the full, that is not simply acquired by believing in him. No, that is acquired when we begin to behave like him. And so the same person that wrote Ephesians that we just read about changing your way of thinking, he gets into Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, and he says this, and you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. You must have the same attitude. You must have the same settled way of thinking and feeling about someone and something. You must have that same attitude that Jesus Christ had. What does this tell us? This is telling us, don't just settle for loving Jesus. Learn to live like Jesus. Don't just settle for believing in Jesus. Learn to behave like Jesus so that we will have the life that Jesus wants us to have. You see, why is it important? Why is it important that we allow God to transform our mind? Why is it important that we renew our thinking? Well, I love what James Allen, the British writer, and actually the title of his most popular book is As a Man Thinketh, and he took that out of Proverbs chapter 23, where it says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he, that you are no more than your thoughts allow you to be. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And he has this quote, it's one of my favorite quotes, and he says this, you are today where your thoughts have brought you, and you will be tomorrow where your thoughts take you. You are today, right now in your life, you are where your thoughts have brought you. And you will be tomorrow where your thoughts take you. So obviously we say, man, I don't want to be in the same place I am right now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now. 20 years from now. I don't want to be in the same place a year from now. So what do I need to do? I need to change my thinking. So how do we become grounded in our attitude? How do we become grounded? I just want to give you three things today that you need to be aware of if you want to be grounded in your thinking. The first thing is this, the way. The way. What we're talking about is the way you think. You've got to be grounded in the way. You've got to be aware of the way. Now, I want you to say this right now and say it out loud. And say it with some spunk. Come on, say it. I have an attitude. Come on, say it out loud. I have an attitude. Look at somebody. If you're watching with somebody, look at them right now and say, I have an attitude. Come on, just let them know. Type it in the chat right now. I have an attitude. I have an attitude. You see, it's so important. It's so important that you know you have an attitude. That you know you have a settled way. You have a settled way of thinking and feeling about everything and every person in your life. You see, there is a way that you think. There is a way that you think. And most of the time, it's directly connected to the people that raised us. It's been influenced by friends and family members. It has been reinforced through years of practice. But here's the thing is what I found is so often, people are not aware of their thought processes. They're not aware of the way that they think. And if we are not aware of our way of thinking, then we can't even admit that our thinking needs to change. It all has to start in awareness. Now, in our home, I mean, Jesse, awareness is a big word with our kids. It's a big word. And so we're always talking about awareness, being aware of environments, being aware of people's emotions, being aware of our mission, being aware of our behavior, being aware of our words. It's awareness. It's awareness. It's awareness. We talk about it all the time. And just this past week, our four-year-old daughter, Ella, Juju is our six-year-old. She did something and Ella stopped her and she said, Juju, don't forget, it's called awareness. It's called awareness. You see, if we are not aware, then we can't even admit that something needs to change. That's why we're always talking about it with our children, because you need to be aware. You need to be aware of what it is that you are thinking. What is the way that you are thinking? How are you processing your thoughts? And now when we ask ourselves this, why do you think the way you think? The answer is always because that's the way I've always thought, right? Why do you think the way you think? Well, that's the way I've always thought. The way I've always thought, it has become normal to me. But so let me pose you a different question. What is the way that you want to think? What is the way that you want to think? You see, this forces me to think about what's possible for me to think about. Man, this is a great exercise. It forces me to think about what's possible for me to really think about. And thinking is a skill that can be developed. Thinking is a skill. It can be developed. You are not just thinking at the level you are and you're going to think at this level forever. No, thinking is a skill and it can be developed. I want you to look at this quote from A.E. Mander. He was a British psychology writer. And this is what he says. He says, thinking is skilled work. It is not true that we are naturally endowed with the ability to think clearly and logically without learning how or without practicing. People with untrained minds should no more expect to think clearly and logically than those people who have never learnt and never practice can expect to find themselves good carpenters, golfers, bridge players, or pianists. Wow, man, what an amazing quote. He says, if we have not learned how and we have not practiced good thinking, then how can we expect to be good at it? It's the same way nobody would expect that somebody who's never practiced golf or never practiced the piano or never practiced another skill would be good at that skill. So it lets us know that there is a way of thinking that demands practice so that we can get good at it, so that we can improve. And now this takes us to the question about, well, you know, if the old saying, right, you can't teach, old dogs new tricks. You know, some people just believe, well, this is the way my dad was, the way my mom was, this is the way my family's been, this way, and I'm just going to keep on being the same. It does not have to be this way. You can change the way that you think. Literally, your brain can change. our thoughts travel down something called neural pathways. And what science is now proving is what God put in his word 2,000 years ago, that we can renew our thoughts, that our way of thinking can literally change. You can change the way that you think. But you see, first we must admit the way we think so that we can adjust the way we think. You see, that's why it goes from awareness to admitting. I've got to be aware that there's a way that I think. I've got to admit this is the way that I think, and I've got to admit that my thinking needs to change. And when I admit that my thinking needs to change, then I can begin to adjust my way of thinking. Now, there is a reason that it is called a settled way. Your attitude is a settled way because it's been settled down into the grooves. That's the way they talk about the neural pathways. They talk about that thoughts have traveled so long that it has become a groove in your brain. That's why you think the same way. It's why all these things always happen, right? It's always just traveling in these grooves. So there's a reason that when we say attitude, it's your settled way, right? It is the groove that you have gotten into. So it's possible to change, but that doesn't mean it's easy to change. There is a way. There is a way that you think, but there is also a potential way that you can think. So when we talk about the way, it takes us, then we got to move into the second thing that we need to be aware of. And that's not just the way, but the what. This is the what. This is the what you think about, the way you think, and then the what you think about. You see, being aware of the way you think and the way you want to think will help guide the what that you put into your mind. If you want to think positive, if you want to think excellent, if you want to think godly, then that is going to influence what you put into your mind. You see, the way should always influence the what. But many times we live this out backwards and we let the what influence the way. We let the what influence the way. Let me explain this to you because this is so vitally important that you grab this truth. You see, what I put into my mind determines what I think about. And what I think about the most is what settles into my mind and it becomes my normal, which ultimately will determine the way that I think about everything in my life. So the way I think, which is most important, wasn't actually formed intentionally. It wasn't important. The way I think is the most important. It wasn't formed intentionally. And actually, instead, it was almost formed accidentally because it was formed inadvertently by the what that I was putting into my mind. So we begin to live this out backwards. Instead of intentionally saying, this is the way that I want to think, and if this is the way that I want to think, then this is what I need to be putting into my mind. We just let the what get into our mind from parents, from authority figures, from society, from culture, and we get the what into our mind, and then the what begins to establish our way, and we get it all backwards because the way you think is the most important. And instead of letting the way you want to think change what it is that you're thinking about, we let what we think determine the way that we think. I want to show you this in the Bible. I believe this is going to speak right to your situation right now. Let's consider the letter to Philippians. And Paul writes this. These are in the first few chapters. We're going to get into chapter 4 in just a second. But in the first few chapters, this is what it says. Paul writes this and he says, keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. Come on, I want you, don't miss that. That's a mindset right there. That's a mindset. That's a mindset of growth that you've never arrived, that the journey never stops. You're going to live your life growing in knowledge. You're going to live your life growing in understanding. Then he says this, for I want you to understand what really matters. I want you to understand what really matters. Come on, how many of you thought you knew what really mattered only to later discover That's not really what mattered. Come on, some of you win the argument, come on, but you lose the war, right? You got to understand what really matters. This is a mindset of being able to judge what is really important in the moment. Paul is talking about a way of thinking. He says, don't be selfish. Once again, a way of thinking. Don't just think about you. Instead, he says, be humble. What that? Think about other people. Put them in front of yourself. He goes on and says, have the same attitude that Jesus Christ had. We read that verse just a moment ago in Philippians. But you've got to have that same attitude, that same way of thinking that Jesus had. And then Paul writes and he says, focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking to what is ahead. This is a mindset. This is a mindset of not living in regret. This is a mindset of not living in what happened back then. This is a mindset of looking into the future. This is a mindset of the best is yet to come. Paul is telling us this is the way that you should be thinking. And he says, I press on. Come on, that's the mindset of perseverance. It's the mindset of toughness that this is not going to be easy. It's not going to happen overnight, but I'm going to keep pressing and I'm going to keep trying. This is a mindset. It's a way of thinking and feeling about life. It's what he's trying to get us to understand. And then he gets in and he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord always, not sometimes, not on the good days. He says, always, always rejoice. No matter what is happening, rejoice in the Lord. And then he says, don't worry about anything. Come on, this is a mindset. I'm not going to live my life in anxiety. I'm not going to live my life stressed out over the uncontrollables. No, he says, don't live your life in worry. But he says, instead, pray about everything. Come on, this is a mindset of casting your cares on God. This is a mindset of trusting him and putting your hope in him. This is the mindset. So Paul is telling us this is the way that you should think. He spends the whole first four chapters of telling us in Philippians, this is the way that you should think. And then in the end of chapter four, he gets to this is what you should think about. Come on, let's take a look at that. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. He says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. One final thing. Let's see what the final thing is. Fix your thoughts on what? Come on, say what? Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about these things that are excellent and worthy of praise. You see, Paul goes through the whole beginning and he's talking about the why, and then he gets to the what, because you were never supposed to build your life off what and then why. You establish the way. This is the way that I was created to think. This is the way that God wants me to live. This is the way. And once I establish the way, then I begin to build my what so it will reinforce the way that God wants me to think. This is vitally important for each and every one of us, that after the way has been established, then the what is given. After the way is meant, you need to establish your way. What is the way that you want to think? Do you want to spend the rest of your life thinking the way that you've been thinking? I don't. Not me. No, I want to think a new way. I want to think a better way. I want to think God's way. Once I establish the way, now I have got to make sure I get the what in my life. This is why here at North Point, right, we're so big on declarations. We say it every Sunday, but I hope you're saying it more than Sunday. I hope you're declaring the truth of God's word over your life every day. I hope you're declaring that you are a child of God. I hope you're declaring that you're loved. I hope you're declaring that you're blessed. I hope you are declaring God's word over your life. And if you are really, really interested, and say, Philip, I'm with you right now, man. I am with you. I realize, man, I need to change the way that I think, and I need to change what I'm thinking about. I've got two resources for you right now. I'm just going to put these on the screen. I want you to take a picture of them. You can come back and look at them later. I want you to get these two books, Rethink How You Think by Dr. David Stoop, and A Better Way to Think by H. Norman Wright. These are two books that have dramatically impacted and influenced my life and have helped me think on another level. They help me not only to think in a new way, but they have also helped me to get the what's that I need into my life to reinforce the way that I'm thinking. Which brings us to the very last point today. So if we're aware of the way we think and the way that we could think, and we are aware of the what that we need to be thinking about to reinforce the way that we want to think, that takes us to the third thing that we need to be aware of, and that is the war. That's right. We've got to be aware of the war. Whenever you become aware of the way you think, and whenever you begin to decide that I want to think differently, and you start finding your what's that you're going to get into your life to reinforce that way that you are thinking, you need to get ready for the war to break out in your life. You're like, oh, Pastor Phil, thank you so much, man. I'm so encouraged by that. Thank you for this message. No. Listen, you need to be ready for the war. And here's the reason why. This is what Pastor Craig Crochelle says. He said this, your life moves in the direction of your most dominant thought. I believe this to be so true. Your life moves in the direction of your most dominant thoughts. Now, here's the truth. God wants your life moving in the direction of victory, but the enemy wants your life moving in the direction of misery. Jesus said in John 10:10, he said, I have come that you might have life, that you might have it to the full in abundance until it overflows. But right before Jesus said that, he says, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. God wants you to live in victory, and the enemy wants you to live in misery. And this is what we know, that the destination of our lives is determined by the direction of our thoughts. The destination of our lives is determined by the direction of our thoughts. And so where is the war in your life happening? It's happening right here. So much so that the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, he said this. He said, we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Now, whenever he uses that word right there, captive, he's literally using it in terms of a prisoner of war, that every thought in your mind, it has to be taken captive and it has to be brought in and it has to be forced into obedience of Jesus. And so this is what we know. This is where the war happens. One of the books that influenced me early on in my Christianity was a book by Joyce Meyer entitled The Battlefield of the Mind. It's still probably to this day the most read book that I've ever had in my life. I've read it so many times, definitely early in my journey of following Jesus. The Battlefield of the Mind. I mean, the title is just so good because it lets you know where the battle of your life is really going to be taking place. The battle of your life is going to take place right here. Why? Because this sets the direction of your life, and therefore it sets the ultimate destination of your life. You see, you've got to be determined. How are you going to win these battles? You got to be determined to figure out, how am I going to win these battles so that I can stay grounded in my attitude, that I might stay grounded, and therefore that I might stay fruitful? You see, we can love Jesus, but if we cannot learn how to maintain peace in the midst of chaos, we can love Jesus, but if we cannot learn how to have joy in the midst of disappointment, we can love Jesus, but if we don't learn how to love in the midst of hate, we can love Jesus with all of our hearts, but if we don't learn how to live with kindness in the midst of meanness, we can love Jesus with everything in us, but if we do not learn how to have self-control in the midst of temptation, then we will be moved too quickly away from the attitude that would allow us to flourish. So see, it's about us coming to this place of understanding that my thoughts and my emotions, wow, they have so much control over where my life is going. And it's not enough for me just to believe in Jesus. It's not enough for me just to put my faith and trust in Jesus. No, I've got to begin to live and behave like Jesus so that I can have on this earth what Jesus wants me to have. And sure, it is a war, but listen to me carefully. It is a war that you can win. Type it in the chat right now. This is a war I can win. I want you to declare that right now. Come on, I want you to look at the person you're watching with right now and tell them, this is a war I can win. I am ready to fight. I'm ready for the battle within. I am ready, but this is a war that I can win. And I'm telling you that you can win this war because the scripture says this, you have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is operating in you. The Bible says in Peter that you have everything you need to live a godly life. That means you have the ability to change the way that you think and change the way that you feel so that you can live out this Christian life on this earth, that you might flourish and prosper in every way in your life. So you got to be grounded. You got to be grounded in this attitude. And if you're going to be grounded, you got to be aware that there's a way. There's a way that you think, and there is a way that is possible for you to think. If you're going to be grounded in this attitude that's going to produce fruit in your life, you got to realize that there is a what. There is a what that you need to be putting into your mind. There is a what. There are things that you need to be thinking about that are going to reinforce the way that you want to think. Don't live in reverse. Don't let the what that you take in on Twitter and on Facebook and Fox News and CNN and from your coworker at the coffee pot and everywhere else, taking in all of these things. No. Don't let the what shape your way. Instead, determine this is the way that I want to think. It's the way that I've always thought, but that's not the way that I want to think in the future. I want to think a different way. I want to think the best way. I want to think God's way. Okay, now I'm going to let that way begin to determine the what I let into my mind. And once I get that worked out, oh, you better believe it. The war is on. The war is on. You know, almost didn't even say war. I'm going to let you into a little secret right now. I almost put in here that this is the workout. Because a war, you think of a war, like you think of a war, somebody wins, somebody loses, and it's over. But a workout really never ends. Because if you want to live healthy, you got to keep going to the gym. Come on, how many of you know what you did in 2017 ain't really paying off a lot for you right now? That was 3 years ago. If you're not in the gym, if you're not working, if you're not exercising, don't pay off. And that's the reality of the war. It's really more like a workout. You got to keep on moving this thing forward because there's always a better way. There's always a better way, and there's always a better what. There's always a better way. There's always a better what. We are growing. We are changing. We are transforming. There's always a better way. There's always a better what. And at every level, we realize there's going to be a war, or there's going to be a workout. There's going to be something we got to begin to work out of us and something we need to begin to work into us so that we can be everything that God created us to be. See, if you really want to live in calm, if you want to live in peace, you got to get your mind and your emotions under control. The way you think, the what you think about, and know that you can win that war. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much. Thank you for your grace. God, thank you for what you're doing in our lives. And God, we recognize right now that there is a way. There is a way that you desire for us to think and a way that you desire us to feel. And God, there is a way that it's possible. It's possible for us. And God, I pray that the way that we establish and determine in our hearts that we want to think, God, let that change the what's that we begin to put in our mind. Let us change what we put into our mind to reinforce the way that we really want to think. And God, let us understand clearly that whenever we begin to move in that way and we begin to combine it with the right what's, there is going to be a war. The enemy does not want us thinking in that way. The enemy does not want us to put the right what's into our thought processes. There is going to be a war. But God, we know at the end of the day, Jesus, you said it. You said, I have overcome the world, so you can live with courage. Yes, there is a war, but you can live with courage. You can live brave because I have overcome it all. And God, we know that it's a war. We know it's a tough workout, but God, we know that because you overcame, we can overcome as well, and we can become everything you want us to become. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name that we pray. Come on, put an amen on that right now. Hey, I want to just say thank you so much for joining us today. And we're going to continue this grounded series because, yes, we got to let our roots grow down into Christ. And, yes, we got to get our attitude right and grounded, right? We got to get our mindset and our emotions grounded. But hey, we also got to get our actions grounded. We got to get our mission grounded. We got to get our behavior grounded. And that's what we're going to talk about next week as we talk about being the light of the world. And we got to be grounded in that mission, grounded in that purpose so that we might become mature and always be fruitful. I can't wait to see you back here next week. God bless you.
Thank you for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and share our podcast. For more content from NCC and how to get connected, visit ncc.team.